right, are we rolling? Amazing. What's up, guys? My name is Eric Rawson. I have the privilege of serving here in Wake, and the even bigger privilege of serving the 7th grade Lake Highlands, who are soon going to be 8th grade. 8th graders, you're the boomers of Wake. I'm sorry to say it, but y'all are joining them. And so today, we are going to be talking about the passage of the rich young ruler. And I know what some of you are thinking. I know what some of you are thinking, because my guys told me this. They're like, oh no, not another passage on how bad having things is. Not another Wake sermon on that. But I want to refocus that and tell you guys, this is a passage about the heart. This is not a passage about the things that you have. It's the way that you view them. And so I took 2.5 hours on a Saturday with some of the guys in my group, some of your peers, who said that they wanted to help me with this. And I was like, hey, in the time that we spent discussing this, what was most helpful for you to learn? And they said, the sin of idolatry, what exactly that is. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so I hope it's helpful, and I'm excited to dive into it. So let's read. Today we'll be in Mark 10, verses 17 through 27. I'll give you a second to turn your Bibles there if you have them. Okay. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so this passage is a little weird in that Jesus Christ himself seems to fail evangelism 101. He doesn't turn to, hey, here's some grace, like, let's talk about this. He hasn't died on the cross yet. But even still, like, you don't expect him to go to the law for this guy, but he does. And so it raises a question of why he would do that. And so 2 chapters earlier, Jesus teaches that, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And so this man is lost and confused. He runs to Jesus. He runs to this homeless teacher, kneels before him, and is desperate. And so why is he desperate? And so as we discussed, I want to talk about idolatry and what that is. And so he is desperate because he has given away his soul by attaching himself and his value to the things that he has, the things that he has done, and the things that he doesn't have. He looks like he has it all, but he still feels like there's something missing, right? Does that sound familiar? Right, he's gained the things that the world has told him to acquire. He's followed the law like his culture has told him to do. He has done well as the first son, I would assume, of his house. He has power, and yet he still feels like there's something missing. And so what Jesus is confronting here isn't the fact that this man has wealth. What Jesus is confronting is that he loves it more than God and is unwilling to give it up because of that. In a way, what this man is doing, and something we do similarly, I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of this man, is he's expecting these things to do for him what only God can do. And so I want to talk more on that. So Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has placed eternity into the hearts of man. And so what that means is God has created us for a purpose, and it is to live in relationship with him and worship him thereof. And so when I say worship, I want to clarify, worship is not just the singing. Praise is a form of worship. It is the way in which you live your life, the choices that you make, the things that you do. And so a relationship with God is what dictates the things that you do and the choices that you make. Now, moving on with that, the sin of idolatry is the worship and the love of something other than God. And so said differently, idolatry is making choices and living a life for the love of something other than God. And that is essentially what sin is. You have replaced God with something or someone, and you make choices thereof that are not pleasing to God. And so Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the second is like it. That's important because the second command is driven by the first. You will not love your neighbor as yourself if you do not love the Lord your God. But something that's really interesting is we all do really, really well with the first commandment. We all do really, really well with the first commandment. And so God is God. He's very good at what he does and the way that he has created us. He has created us to worship him, right? But the problem is sin. The problem is we want what we want, right? And so we replace God with something else. We're really good at the first commandment. But the problem and the question becomes is who is the God or what is the God that you worship with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all of your strength? Let me say that again. The question becomes who or what is the God that you worship with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength? Because what you love and what you worship will dictate where your mind goes. It will dictate where your soul attaches itself. All of your strength, all of your effort will be moved toward acquiring this thing, to appeasing yourself with this thing or this person, whatever it may be, but it's not God. And so if what you love is money, then all of your endeavor, your worship, the things that you do, the choices you make is going to be in the route or in the way of finding and obtaining money, right? Same thing with success. If the God that you worship is success, every step that you take, every choice that you make, every time you lay in bed at night and you're thinking whatever is in your head is focused on what am I gonna do tomorrow to appear more successful, because that's where you think you're gonna find value. That's what's gonna make you more valuable. And when we say like identity, we talk about identity a lot in this room. When we say identity, it's what you think makes you valuable. And so the rich young ruler thinks that it's his power. He thinks that it's his money. He thinks that it's his whatever spirituality, his righteousness in following the law. Like, let's believe that he has fulfilled those things as the culture has asked him to, right? Let's assume that's true. And yet he still feels and knows that he doesn't have eternal life. He still feels that. And so you get the point I'm making, and I do want to share a little bit of it from my own life. And so I'm going to need 4 volunteers. Perfect. We got 1, 2. Let's go 3 and 4. Perfect. So if y'all will come right here. I thought of this like on the way here, so I hope this goes well to illustrate the point I want to make, right? And so idolatry harms you in very specific ways. You attach yourself to things, right? Hoping that they make you feel steady, comforted, pleasured, known, soothed, right? You're looking to these things to like satisfy your heart, something that was made for eternity, but these feelings don't last, right? And so for me, it starts with my dad. I wanted my dad to approve of me. I wanted him to say, I'm proud of you. I wanted him to enjoy having me around, and I never got that. But all of my childhood was spent saying, hey, I just want my dad to say I'm proud. And so everything that I thought about, everything that I did as a kid was focused on how can I make my dad see me as valuable? How can I get him to say that he's proud of me? So that's where it started. And so if one of you would take my arm, just hold it there, all right? And so this is a shackle, right? I'm poor, I couldn't afford props, didn't think of it fast enough. So this is a shackle, right? And so the next piece was, okay, I wasn't getting anything from this. I still wanted my dad to approve of me. And what I was seeing was, oh, my friend's parents are really excited when my friends are popular at school. And so I'm like, okay, popularity. I'm gonna become the funniest guy. I'm gonna become the class clown. I'm gonna have everyone like me. And quickly, popularity became my new God, the thing which I worshiped. It made me choose different things to obtain that thing. And so if you would take my arm, right? And so this is the next piece. This is the next shackle, right? And so here I am, right? moving here. I don't go anywhere that I want. These things control where I stand, where I go, and what I do, right? And so the next piece comes from, okay, there's always someone funnier than me. There's always someone smarter than me, cooler than me, better looking than me. And so I'm like, okay, sports. I see a lot of people doing sports, and maybe if I'm good at sports, my dad will approve of me, and they will think more highly of me. And so if one of you would take my foot or put your foot on my foot, either one, thank you. And so now I've got another shackle, another thing holding me here, right? And I'm like, okay, this is good, right? So I worked really hard. I had as much like effort as you could put out. I was in the weight room. I was running the sprints, all of the things. And okay, so now I'm captain of the team, right? But there's always someone better than me. There's always someone from another school that's going to outcompete me, right? And not everyone's going to think I'm that good. And so, okay, there's that piece. And still, I'm not getting this. This isn't changing. And I put so much effort into this, I don't want to let it go. And so now we move on to the next thing, right? So I'm like, okay, what else could make me more valuable? What could make me feel more secure about myself? What could make me feel better about my life? And so move on to the next thing, and it's a girlfriend, or for the girls in the room, a boyfriend, right? And so I see everyone else in my school who's sitting here going, okay, I have a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend, makes you more relatable, makes you cooler, gives you stuff to talk about in the locker room that is not appropriate, I will say, but still, it gives you something to relate with everyone else around you. And it makes you appear more valuable, because if someone's saying, I'm willing to spend my time with this guy, then that has to mean that I'm worth something. That has to mean that I'm worth something. And so if you would, thank you. Does this look like freedom? Because all of my choices are dictated by what I'm shackled to, by what's holding me, right? And the big scary part is none of these things are always gonna go in line, right? My dad may not like my friends may not like my girlfriend may not like that I'm spending this much time playing sports or whatever it may be, she may not like my friends, right? And so all of you go different directions. How well is this gonna go for me? Not good. Not good, right? And so you guys are good now, thank you. And so what I want you to understand from that is the very things that you attach yourself to, you only have so much of yourself to give. You are finite, you are not God. You only have so much of yourself to give. But on top of that, as you try to latch on to more things to give yourself value, those things soon become the very things tearing you apart, much like they were tearing the rich young ruler apart. He knew that he was missing something, right? And so what we would argue here, and what we believe here, is that thing that you're missing is God. And he's not asking you to work to it. You can't do that. And so the beautiful truth is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The playing field is level. The playing field is level. You're all on the same page. There's no one more righteous. There's no one less of a sinner. The whole playing field's righteous. And next to that is that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus took the wrath that you deserve so that you have the ability to be in relationship with God, in right relationship with God, that your heart may now have the right idol of worship, that it may have God, and your choices are made thereof. There's a reason we have these small groups. There's a reason we do these teachings, and it's so that you guys know what it means to worship God and live in relationship with him. Like, ask questions of your leaders. It's important. It's important because, again, you're going to keep searching for things and latching to things that are only going to make you more anxious, more depressed. Like, that is a picture of what it was like when I was at my worst in life. I was being torn apart by the things that I wanted to find security in. And I was so depressed. I was so anxious. And I felt like my just existence was going everywhere, but my life was going nowhere. And so the beautiful thing is, as we sang in the songs, in the praise of worship, is we have a good father, and you can run to him, right? And so Paul talks about becoming a slave to Christ, but I don't want you to think of that in the sense of like a shackle. It's a bond servant type relationship. You choose to be with him, and when you run to him, he's like a father, right? It's not a shackle. It's an embrace. It is an embrace. And the arms are open. And he's going to hold you steady. And he's the one thing that you have to focus on. And so to end this out, I don't have any points of application, right? This is not one of those things that you really get to go do better. It's one of those things that you reflect on in your heart. And so the question that I want to leave with you, it's really two questions, is what is it that you love more than God? And why is it so hard for you to give that thing up? And can you recognize the ways that, man, it's tearing your life apart? So that's all I have for you. I'd love to pray us out and then let you guys go to your breakout groups. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for the ability to just come to Wake, to learn more about who you are, to sit and worship and reflect on what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray as they go into their small groups that, God, the discussion would be sweet. And Lord, that they would learn about you and, Lord, not just be confronted with you, but God, confront themselves and come to know you more fully. And so, Lord, we love you and we're grateful for you. Amen.